Thank you very much, Barbara, for reading. Let me tell you of a miracle that happened over the last week or two. It was this: for nearly 4 years, I have been working from my office in our house. And if any of you know my office, it is a dreary, dull, it is cluttered, it is badly decorated, it has no windows into the outside, and it is the most depressing place. The miracle was that I went to New Wine, and while I was away, my son, having cleared it, decorated, painted it, and has created new life. And I look forward, it's only been a week, I look forward to going into it as a place of refuge, study, writing, praying, whatever I need to do. Those 6 days, life has come to what I thought was unreclaimable, unusable space. In our living room at home, we have this plant. You don't water it and it looks like this, and it gets worse and worse and worse. But after about an hour, having put a drop of water in, it comes to life. It's the most amazing plant. And I know there are some gardeners and people here who would tell me what it is. I have no idea. I just love watching the leaves wither and... what is it? Yeah, droops down and then comes to life. You see, roughly see the difference there. And we're looking at Psalm 1 in our summer series of the Psalms. Caroline has done Psalm 46, I believe. Ed, was it 91 that you've spoken on? And today we're back at the beginning, and I'm going to pray for us to get a little bit of wisdom and insight. So, Father God, as we gather this morning and look at Psalm 1 together, may you guide us and help us, inspire us and refresh us. In Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 1, believe it or not, is the first psalm. I think we've all got that one. It's the first psalm, and it's not by accident that it's in that place. It's in the mould of a proverb, so it's wise sayings. It's poetic in form. And it calls us, the psalm, very simply to go in one direction or another, either looking like that or do you want to look like that, refreshed. There is a choice in this psalm that says, do you want life or do you want death? It's not by accident that the editor of the psalms put this verse, because it builds a foundation for the remaining 149 psalms. It's quite easy to see the message in Psalm 1, yet I believe it's quite hard to follow. Do you want life or do you want death? Are you for God or are you against God? Are you following his ways that lead to life or the wicked ways that lead to death? And right through Scripture, we are reminded, aren't we, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, that we are to come to God. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount speaks of the narrow way that leads to life and the broad way that leads to death. This image in Scripture is one way or another. You have a choice. That's what the writer of the word says. Flowing through the Scriptures. Which way are we living? Most of us say we're living by life, but are we really living the true life? And the psalm is about refreshments. Hence the refreshers. And I wonder how we feel. Last Thursday, I came in from a run. I opened a can of Guinness Zero, I hasten to add, non-alcoholic, even though a proper Guinness probably would have gone down better and supplied the iron that I needed. But I was replenishing my aching and tired limbs. It was a joy just to sit there and just refresh. And I had a picture again of what it should be like sitting in the Lord's presence. But it's not just sport, is it? And I could bore you with anecdotes of running. I'll try not to. But it could be the work we do, whether it's paid employment, looking after family, whatever it may be. We could be feeling just tired and weary. It could be our walk with the Lord that is wearing us out. How much have we got to do? What are we doing? Am I on Sunday? Am I doing this? Am I running another children's event? I know gives life, but actually it could be the next one, the next one. There are times in life when we can all feel a little bit weary. God says, come to me. We've looked at this previously. If you're weary, come to me, and I will take your burden upon myself. With that plant in our living room, what would happen if I did not water it at all? It would die. It would no longer come to life. It would be extinct. And I wonder if any of us here are feeling withered. I wonder if we are. And I know what lots of us are facing. And we have to own up to that place of witheredness at times. But Psalm 1 offers us a hope. It offers us three things, well, lots of things, but three things we can look at that will help us as in our journey this morning. Let us be immersed. Let us be washed. Let us be fruitful in our lives, rooted and fruitful. Verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Right at the start of the psalm is the word blessed. God wants his people to be blessed. He doesn't want us to be that weary, withered plant, but wants us to be a blessed people. Blessed can be translated as happy. It's a promise of God. And God's promises are always fulfilled. Probably not in the time we would like it, but we are under God and his promises will keep us firm. Remember, God's time is different. 2 Peter 3:8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. We come before God and God will fulfill his promises. So as we read the psalm, we are being immersed in the one who loves us, the one who knows us, the one who provides for us. Imagine that feeling of immersing yourselves on a hot summer's day in a cool shower, or as I was with my Guinness Zero the other day. As we read this verse, notice what we're not to do. It's amazing how he puts it in the negatives. Do not walk, do not stand, do not sit in the company of the wicked, sinners or mockers. But what is God saying? Do the reverse. Stand with the righteous. Stand with those who know what it is to live for God. Immersing together. And as I was writing this the other day, I had a picture of the church. That together we should be immersed and know the fulfilling and the restoration and the love that we have for each other. But how else do we do this? It says in verse 2, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night? The word of God isn't there by accident. It's there for those of us who need restoration. The readers and listeners of this psalm, when it first came out, would have thought of the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible. And actually, if you've read them recently, or who can remember them, you think, how can they be refreshing? But they're full of the story of God and commands to give life and life in all its fullness. Delight in the word. For us, it's the whole of the scripture. Delight in it. Come with expectation as we open the word of God. As you probably might remember, I'm reading the Bible through in the year-ish. It's taking a bit longer. It's quite a lot of chapters. I do it every year. It takes longer and longer. And I'm in the book of Job. And I must admit, delighting in the book of Job is quite hard. But he calls us to delight as we read it. We are to meditate on that word. We are to rest on that word. This word of meditation is one that the Jews would understand. It's as they would read in the Old Testament, they would murmur over the word. It would be mulling in their minds. And the picture someone came up that I read, it's as though a lion is purring over prey. You know, they've had a kill and they're just They're happy. They understand. And that's what God calls us to do with Scripture, to just reflect on it. And it might be a verse a day. It might be one word. It might be chapter after chapter. There is no right way, but just we are to do, immerse ourselves in that word, the law, meditating on it day and night. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen, so just a few words to help us as we immerse ourselves. When we come to the word, you'll know this, we are to prioritize it. Just ask yourselves a question. When do I read the Bible every day? If you're not, think about it. Plan it. Plan it in. For me, I get up in the morning, I open the Word of God, I read the Word of God and try and reflect on the Word of God. I also have an app that pings at about 5 in the morning that gives me a verse a day that I reflect upon and take it with me wherever I'm going. A place, sometimes we can get easily distracted. Well, I do. Find a place. I have a prayer sofa which is full of junk at the moment. And I'm committed to remove that junk so I can go back to that place of prayer and reading. As we read the scriptures, we are to pray over it and ask God's help. And then perhaps partner with one another. Ask each other, what scriptures are you reading daily or weekly or monthly? How are you being encouraged? Let's not be afraid of this word. And as we move on, we are to be immersed, we are to be washed and refreshed. Verse 3 of the psalm, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. As we are praying beforehand, one of our number had a picture of a tree with its roots going right down deep, deep, deep into the soil, especially if there's been a drought. They didn't realise this was the reading for today. They probably did realise it was the reading for today, but hadn't put the two together. It was a picture. Are our roots going deep enough to be washed and refreshed? To be washed and refreshed. It's the purifying refreshness of the Word of God. Because when we're refreshed, we're ready to go again. It's important to take this on board. And this refreshing and this washing is another thread throughout Scripture. If you see the trees planted by the river right at the beginning of Eden, they were in the garden and the river was running through it. The trees were restored. They were perfect. Ezekiel, the streams and the floods of water come from the temple and the trees are planted by its side. Revelation. Let me read you what it says in Revelation 22. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of this great street of the city, on each side of the river, stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. That picture is a godly picture through Scripture, and it's one that we can grab hold of. Dig our roots deep before him. So we're immersed, we're refreshed. We are to be rooted and fruitful as our roots go down. It's not just for our sake, but the sake of the world. You see, the scriptures say in the Psalm 1, we will yield our fruit if we do it, but not so the wicked. In John 15, we're reminded to stay attached to the vine. Jesus is the true vine. We are the branches. Let's take seriously our attachment to him and bear that fruit that we need. You may have heard of Smith Wigglesworth. If you haven't, in 1947 he died, but he was a man of God. He was a prophet for the nations. He was an evangelist. And he said that in refreshing, this is what he said about the Word of God. The Word of God is a supernatural in origin, eternal in duration, inexpressible in value, infinite in scope, regenerative in power, infallible in authority, universal in interest, personal in application, inspired in totality. We are to read it through, write it down, pray it in, and pass it on. The psalmist is saying, as we come to God in his word and taking this seriously. This is what we're to do, to be immersed, refreshed, but fruitful. It's that passing it on. Yet not the wicked. They're like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. But the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. It's not an easy read. It's not an easy way, but it's the right way. It can feel like a battlefield, but we are called to keep on going, immersing ourselves in his word and all that he's given us. And all that he's given us is all that we need for each other and for the world. We are to read it through, write it down, pray it in, and pass it on. So as I finish, one question for us to ponder for 30 seconds. And just maybe you want to shut your eyes or just pause. What do we need to do? What is the Lord saying to us today? Let's just pause. So, Father God, we pray that we will come to you. We'll dig our roots deep, that we'll be immersed, refreshed, and that we will be fruitful in the lives you call us to be. Where we are weary, Lord, we ask for your help. Where we struggle, give us strength. Let us be a church that supports one another in our journeys of faith and shows the world of the true life of Jesus Christ. Amen.